It's so good to be back home. We were in East London last weekend with a Shofar church in East London, and we had an amazing time in the presence of God. And I just want to say to you that apart from Wellington, I think East London is my favorite part of the country now. I hope that I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit would have come with us. It was such a wonderful, you know, the evening meeting. We started praying. There was a, you know, that a church is on fire when on a Sunday afternoon at 2:30 that the congregation come together for prayer, not for afternoon naps. Okay. So straight from their meals, they come to the church and they pray. And then we prayed until 5:00. And then the meeting started, and we got home after 9:30. So it was amazing. It was an amazing time in the presence of God. And I want to encourage us, and I want to encourage you that prayer, we really need to ask the Lord with regard to prayer. Amen. And that the Lord would speak to us more about prayer. Who wants revival? I dare you to go and read revival history and see if revival ever happened without prayer. Never. Consistent prayer. Consistent crying out to the Lord for His presence, for more of His Spirit, more of His presence. A hunger in our hearts is what draws God. Amen. It doesn't have to be hundreds, but every single revival has been preceded by people that have pressed in prayer for years and years and years and have taken time. And many times those people, those intercessors, those prayer warriors, their names don't get mentioned. It's like the Scottish revival in the Hebrides Islands. It was usually they connected with a guy called Duncan Campbell. But they never mention that there were two old ladies that were praying for 30 years. I think the one was blind and the other one was crippled. But they kept on praying. They kept on praying. And when Duncan Campbell eventually was in the middle of a conference, he was standing on stage. He was just about to preach. And the Lord said, Duncan, I want you to go to the Hebrides Islands. And he said, okay, God, I'll just finish here. The Lord says, no, now. And he left the pulpit. He said to the people, listen, I don't know what God wants to do, but he just told me to go to the Hebrides Islands. So he went, and when he came to the harbor on the quay, when he got there, these two old ladies were there, and they basically asked him, what took you so long? We've been waiting. And a lot of people attribute the Scottish revival, the Hebrides revival, to Duncan Campbell, but it's much, much more than that. It's people, those two ladies that consistently prayed for 30 years. So I really want to honor people this morning. And I don't know who you are, but I just sense that there have been people that have been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and nobody has seen you. And I just want to honor you this morning and say, I want to say thank you. And I want to say to you that lay hands on those of us that aren't praying enough, that prayer would really become something that is our first response instead of our last resort. Amen. Praise God. Wow, I just love what God is doing in our midst. Messes up my preaching though, because I hope I'm going to get to what I want to get to this morning. I just want to maybe just connect a couple of dots for us, that we don't think that the singing of the songs and the ministry and the preaching are three separate departments or three separate sections of our being together. And I just want to thank the worship team this morning. And you know, this is one place where Andre said that he's a good father, and Abba, or Daddy, Father, I belong to you. And it was like the Holy Spirit was coming, and he reminded me of a scripture that said, if your earthly fathers that are evil compared to God the Father, your earthly fathers, they want to give goods to you. They want to give good gifts to you. How much more will the Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I was just sensing that I think it's good that we proclaim that our Father is good. But I also think that if we understand the goodness of our Father, that God isn't really, God's not dependent on us proclaiming who He is. He loves it and He acknowledges, but there should be something inside of us that says, but what does this mean? What does this mean that our Father is good? And surely He wants to portray or demonstrate His goodness. Because God's not really into form or religion, but God is in doing His word. He watches and He guard jealously over His word to what? To perform it. So when we gather here together and God is in our midst, God wants to do something. God doesn't just want us to sing a couple of songs, pray a couple of prayers, listen to a motivational sermon. He wants to perform His word. He wants to perform it in us. He wants to perform it through us because He guards jealously over His word to perform it. So when we gather together like this, it is because God wants to do something. God is more interested in doing something than we are. Amen? God really wants to fellowship with us. And this morning as Andre was singing about Abba Father, and I just sensed, they said, okay, and I said, okay, God, You say that You will give us the Holy Spirit. And as I started praying, and I said, God, won't You just give us more of the Holy Spirit? And immediately the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and that's going to manifest through gifts, through healing, through words of knowledge, through the prophecy. And then Sean came. You see, these things are all connected. It's not separate things. It's not people wanting to come and take the mic and do something. It's about the Holy Spirit coming and laying things on people's hearts that they would bring and be the good gifts that our Father wants to give us. Because you must realize that the gifts flow through people, through you, through me. It flows through people. So God wants to give good gifts to those that would position themselves and align themselves by faith and say, God, won't You use me this morning? Can I be Your instrument this morning? Can I be the channel through which You flow this morning? And immediately, your experience and your experience of being here would become richer as you realize that you are part of the ministry team. You are part of the team that ministers. Now let me just demystify the word ministry, because some of you might think, but I'm not in ministry. The word ministry is simply the Greek word diakonos, which means service. Are you here to serve? Yes. And I want to encourage you, and I thank God for a wonderful group of people that set up this hall every Sunday morning and Saturday afternoon, and they're serving. And there are more possibilities to serve. So I want to encourage you that as you come to a meeting like this, that as the worship goes on, that you should say, God, don't You want to use me? God, I want to bring a gift that will edify and build this body. I want to be an encouragement to my brother and sister. And you don't have to wait. You have the same Holy Spirit as I do. You have the same Holy Spirit that Niels does. You have the same Holy Spirit. It's not a smaller Holy Spirit. It's exactly the same Spirit. And this Spirit is the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. He dwells in you. He dwells in you. Amen? So, I'm excited. I could preach about that all day. Okay. I want to continue. 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Niels preached about that Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, I now, even so in the same manner, I send you. And this is in the same vein of what we feel the Lord is working in our midst, that we're trusting the Lord that we would start living as sent ones and not only think that we are sent ones if we have a passport and a plane ticket, but that we would be sent ones to wherever we are. Wherever we are, whether we're in school, whether we're working, whether we're on pension, doesn't matter what we do, that God sends us to where we are. And God sends us with a purpose. God doesn't just send us for any reason, but He sends us for a purpose. And I'm going to start out by going to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 14. Okay, and it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not might be saved, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So here's Paul, he's talking about salvation. He's addressing a couple of issues in Romans. But here he specifically says, how will people get saved? They will saved when they call on the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he says, but how will they call on Him whom they've never, who they don't have faith in, who they don't believe in? And then he says, and how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Okay, so let's read it from the back now. So we must be sent. Okay? Then it says, what must we do? Preach. Now we'll get to that in a moment because I can hear I'm not a preacher. I can't preach. I don't know the Bible. I don't do public speaking. And we're going to just unpack the word preaching. So you've got to be sent. If you are a messenger with a messenger that you have to deliver, it means that you are sent by someone. Jesus even said when He was on the earth, the words that I speak are not my own. I only speak what I hear my Father saying. He says, I've been sent by the Father, and therefore I can't say what I want to. I'm not here on my own mission. The Holy Spirit, also it said of the Holy Spirit, that He will not speak of Himself. He will not speak what He thinks. Jesus even says that the judgment or the decisions that I make are not my own. So Jesus understood that He was a messenger from the Father, that He was on a mission from the Father, and He could only speak what the Father spoke. And He was a sent one. And who wants to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a sent one. And it says, so we must be sent, and there must be preaching. Now, who of you have heard that apparently St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel, if at all necessary, you use words. Who have you heard that statement? Okay, Mythbuster. He never said it. Mythbuster. Go and look in everything that you can read about St. Francis of Assisi. He never, ever said that. Not once. He didn't even allude to it. In fact, if you read about the life of St. Francis of Assisi, he was a man that was dedicated to the preaching of the word. I don't know who said it. There was a couple of things that there were four instances in his life that he said something, but it was in a specific context. But he definitely did not say, preach the gospel, if at all necessary, use words. So if you ever thought that, don't post that on Facebook, please. Never. It's a lie. Okay, I think preaching the word without doing the word is horrible. I think doing the word without preaching Jesus is just as horrible. Because we can be involved in feeding the poor, we can be involved in looking after orphans, we can be involved in all kind of humanitarian that illustrates the love of Jesus. You know, we can even get people healed. We can pray for people and they get healed. We can teach people about financial principles that really work. But if we don't connect them to Jesus, if they don't meet Jesus through that work, and we meet Jesus by telling people about Jesus. Amen? So I don't think that preaching the word but not doing the word is right. But I also think that just doing the gospel and never connecting it to Jesus is helping people eternally. Now you can teach people. There's a lady, maybe you've heard of her, Susie Orman. You know, FNB used to hire her and she would tell people how to get out of debt. And she would have seminars, and the first thing that she said when she does a seminar, she said, give 10% of your income away. What does that sound like? Tithing, right? She said the first thing, if you want to get out of debt, take 10% of your income and give it away. She doesn't call it tithing, but it's a principle. It's a principle that God instilled. That is why there are people that are getting rich that aren't Christians. They are generous. And they know how to create wealth. But that does not mean that they serve Jesus. So you can use principles. I want to tell you that you can. Who of you have read some of Stephen Covey's books? Seven Habits. Okay? Now, Mr. Covey is a self-professed Mormon. So I wouldn't exactly go to Stephen Covey for spiritual counsel. Okay? But you can look at all of his stuff and you can put Bible verses to it. So it connects you to principle, but if the principle doesn't connect you to Jesus, we're only helping people for 80 years plus. We're not helping them eternally. And we can help people temporarily. But Jesus came to give us eternal life. So we need to help people eternally. So while we are feeding the poor, we should be telling them about Jesus. While we're looking after orphans, we should be telling them about Jesus. While we're doing all kind of humanitarian stuff, we should be telling people about Jesus. While we go and treat people on mercy ships, we should be telling them about Jesus. Because we will not be saved by our works, neither will they be saved by works, but they will only be saved. There's only one name by which man can be saved, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So, we have to be sent to have a message. But that message needs to be delivered. We can't walk with the gospel in our heart all of our lives and never tell people. We've got to deliver the message. All right? Otherwise, we're not real messengers. We've got to deliver the message. If someone gives you, won't you just give this, say Marilee comes to me and says, Jan, won't you just please give this letter to Johnny and Marilise? Will you please go to them? I take the letter. I'm sent by them to deliver the letter. I put it in my pocket and I'm aware that there's a letter. I have a letter. I know who it is addressed to, but I never give it to them. Would I be a messenger? No, I wouldn't. A messenger delivers messages. Okay. So we must be sent and we must preach. Now we'll talk about preaching in a moment. And if we preach, what does the word say? Come, let's read. We're reading it backwards now. Okay. So we must be sent. We must be preaching. How will people hear if we don't preach? How will people hear? People are not very good mind readers. Sometimes people will notice that there's something on your life. Sometimes when you spend time with people, they will come to you and say, you know, I don't know, but, you know, whenever I'm with you, you know, when I walk away, I feel like my hope has been restored. Or whenever, you know, you've got such a peace about you. And, you know, you always see the positive in life. Yes, that's your chance. That's not your testimony. That's your chance. To say, you know where my hope comes from. You know where my peace comes from. You know where my quote-unquote positivity comes from. My positivity or my optimistic outlook or my faith-based outlook on life comes from the Word of God, comes from Jesus, comes from the Holy Spirit that is with me. This peace that I have is not my own. This is not a peace like the world gives peace. This is a peace that only God can give. So people need, even if you impact them without saying a word, when they respond to you, it is your time to use your opportunity to make Jesus known. And how will they, if they don't hear, how will they believe? Faith comes by hearing. If you read later on, just a couple of verses down in Romans 10 verse 14, it's a portion of scripture that we so often quote. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we are sent ones, it's not about wearing a t-shirt. It's not about knowing, you know, our theme for 2018 is sent ones. No, we actually want you to become sent ones. And not just for 2018. We want you for the rest of your life to live like you are not here on your own mission with your own message and your own agenda. We are here because of Jesus. We are here for the cause of the King and His kingdom. That is why we live. That is why we are still sucking oxygen. That is why we are in Wellington or in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That is why God sent you here. Not just to pass time and to occupy space, but to deliver the message. And now you must say to me, Jan, but you know, I'm not really a preacher. Once again, one of those wonderful words that I don't know so much in English, but in Afrikaans, if you say the word preek, echoes, moenie vir my preek nie. Preek jy nou vir my? We don't like preaching. We don't like it. When we hear the word preaching, it conjures up ideas of, I can't do it. I haven't been to Bible school. Oh, I don't know enough scripture verses. Oh, I don't like public speaking. I want to ask you, who do you think spread the message in the early church? Let's go to the Bible. Acts chapter 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. You can find it here. Acts chapter 4, Romans. Where's Acts chapter 8? Right after Acts chapter 7. I knew that you... Okay. Sometimes I think computers are not faster than humans. 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. Now, Stephen was executed. He was preaching the gospel, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, except the ministry guys. Because of the persecution that arose against the church, the believers were scattered all over. Believers. Not the pastors, not the evangelists, not the apostles. In fact, it says not the apostles. The apostles remained in Jerusalem. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation for him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Those who were scattered went about and they preached the word. Now the Greek word preaching comes from the root word kerygma. It means to proclaim. In other words, it means to make a statement. Therefore, preaching is not just from behind a pulpit. It's not just being able to take the Greek and the Hebrew. It's not the domain of a certain few individuals that can do it and others not. The early church grew exponentially because those that were scattered were preaching the word. Believers. Who of you are believers? Who of you are not believers? Will not put up their hand no matter what I say. Okay. Okay. So it's believers that preach the word. The early church believers preach the word. Shall I go to another verse? Maybe you'd think, oh, but that's just one. Let's go to Acts again. Acts chapter 11. Verse 19. I really want to encourage you. I know that we have wonderful things that put verses up on screens. But I really want to encourage us. I don't care on what format you read your Bible. But I do want to encourage you to page through your Bible to read with. There is great value in that, that you won't rely on some overhead projector, and that you should rely on your own well of the Word. I think sometimes Christians struggle not because of anything else, but they don't know the Word. I also know that if you don't know the Word, you can't do the Word. Some people know the word, but they don't do it. Other people simply don't do the word because they just don't know. So I want to really encourage us all, just as a side note here, I want to encourage you, read your Bible. And don't just read your favorite scriptures. Read portions of the Bible. Take at least 15 minutes. You can get through at least a chapter. In 15 minutes, most of the chapters in the Bible. So I really want to encourage you to dig into the Word and not try to find sermons or principles, but simply read the Word so that you'll get to know the Word, so that the Holy Spirit can remind you. Okay. Okay. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. So who preach the word? Believers. Who of you are believers? You can preach the word. You can preach the word. You can preach the little bit that you know. We always admire the Jehovah Witnesses that knock on our door. Oh, well, they know the Bible. Well, it's maybe because they study it. Don't use it as an excuse. Take it as a challenge. Get to know the word in such a way when they misquote scripture that you can say, well, that's not really in the word. But the little bit that you have, I want to tell you that if you listen carefully in a celebration to a little bit of a sermon, and if you attend a home group and you listen to what is discussed there, you will have something to preach to someone that doesn't know. You might not hold your ground against a theological mastermind, but to an unbeliever that doesn't know anything, you'll hold a fair amount of ground and truth. Just take what you have. Nobody said that you know have to know everything. These people were scattered. They weren't the apostles. They only listened to the sermons of the apostles. They didn't even have a Bible. They didn't even have a Bible. They did not have a New Testament. They did not have the red letter words of Jesus. It was simple. If they were Jewish, they would have a fair grasp of the Old Testament. But now there were also Gentiles that came to salvation, and they knew nothing. But they continued to preach. So if we're going to wait for a couple of superstars and amazing preachers and evangelists and miracle workers to do the work of the gospel, we're going to wait for a long time. So here's it. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, "You're it. You're it. You, my beloved brother and sister, you are a preacher. Or at least, do you want to be one?" And listen to this. Now the report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Remember, these are Gentiles that have never ever received the Holy Spirit. This was a new thing. If you look at the previous chapter, it tells about Peter telling about this thing, that this crazy thing happened, that the Holy Spirit was not just poured out on the Jews, but it was now also poured out on the Gentiles. So these Gentiles were most probably very immature believers. And what did Barnabas say? "Oh no, guys, you must be careful. Don't preach, you know. We don't want error in the church. And we certainly don't want you to misrepresent God here." He was glad. He was glad. I'm going to shock some of you that think that it's all about doctrinal purity in a moment or two. So put on your seatbelts. "For he was a good man." This is about Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So it wasn't like Barnabas was some Johnny come lately. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He saw the evidence of grace because of the preaching of scattered ones, of believers, and a great number of people came to the Lord. It says, "And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." You know what that means? They called them little Christs. That's what the word Christians means. The first time amongst unbelieving people, amongst Gentile people that were filled with the Spirit, and great many of them came to salvation. Great many of them came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here for the first time, their life was so evident that the people in Antioch looked at them and said, "You're like a little Jesus. You're like a little Christ. You know, everything that Christ did, you do. And everything that Christ said, you say." What a wonderful insult. What a wonderful name to be called. "You are just like Jesus." Thank you. "You're just like Jesus. And if you open your mouth, it's about Jesus. Thank you. And all you want to talk about is the Word of God. Thank you. Can we talk about it now?" What a wonderful testimony of what the Lord was doing through normal people. One of the things of the Reformation, that through the years and through the dark ages, it was told to the believers that they can't really understand the Bible. In fact, they didn't have the Bible that was written. They didn't have it. It was all in Latin, and only the priests that were highly intellectual, and only the priests and the clergy, they were the people that could understand. And normal people like you and me were told we cannot understand Scripture. The Bible was never written as a theological handbook to confuse believers. It's only men that make it confusing. A plain reading of Scripture, a plain, slow reading of Scripture, you will grasp most of what's in Scripture. In the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, people were told, "Man, you can't hear God for yourself. You can't hear God. You've got to have someone that will be able to interpret it." And it always said something else than what it said. And one of the things of the Reformation was, one of the 95 theses that Martin Luther 500 years ago nailed to that door in Wittenberg, it said, "The priesthood of all believers." The priesthood of all believers. Ephesians 4, echoes that, that says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were given what? For the equipping of the saints. You. For what? For church attendance? No. For work of ministry. For work of ministry. So as we are trusting the Lord to really put in our hearts that we are not here by chance, we are here by purpose. And just like the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends His disciples, not just the apostles. He sends every disciple to go and do the work of ministry, to preach the gospel, to make known the gospel, the little that you know, to those that don't know, so that they can believe. Because what will happen to them if they believe? They will be saved. They will be saved. And a great, and what I like about this, it says, and a great number of them were saved. A great number of them were saved. Here's the thing that I really want to get to before we close. I want to read the last part of the scripture. I want to read Romans 10 again. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching or proclaiming? And how are they to proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written. And now Paul in Romans quotes from Isaiah 52 verse 7. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is not some task that the Lord is. This is not some hard thing that the Lord is calling us to. This is not some, you know, some evangelistic program to keep the church busy. God says, no, 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 no. As it's written, if we are sent and we preach to people, we proclaim the gospel and they believe and they are saved, it is beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel or bring the gospel, the good news. In fact, a modern translation which says, it's almost too good to be true. It's almost too good to be true. So when we come with the gospel, we're not trying to win a theological argument. We're not trying to convince people. We are simply preaching. We are simply proclaiming what God has done for us. We're simply proclaiming what the Word of God tells us. We're simply speaking truth. And when people believe, for some people, I want to say to you that some people, when you present them with the gospel, some people, when you want to pray for them, they're going to hate you. They're going to say, I don't want you to pray for me. Some people are going to reject you. Some people are going to run rings around you with their arguments. We are not there to win arguments. We are there to proclaim Jesus Christ. We are there to tell people what is done in your own life. And if they believe, you can't make them believe. But you can preach. They can't believe without preaching. They can't believe without someone telling them. But then they've got to make their own decision. So it's not up to you. It's not how well you presented. It's that you present. It's that you are willing to say, God, here I am, use me. And you know what? If people receive Jesus because of your testimony, that's going to be beautiful. That's going to be beautiful. Now, most probably, none of you think that you have beautiful feet. I mean, God could have taken any other of our body part, but He chose feet. Not many people say, look at my amazing feet. Most probably say, I want to hide my feet. Some people of you are hiding your feet now. But the beauty is not in the structure of your feet, it's what you use your feet for. It's your feet takes you places. Your feet takes you places. And while you're there, and as you are going, make disciples. Tell them about this wonderful Jesus that you serve. And I want to encourage you that if you say, but Jan, I can't think of anything, then I want to encourage you, think harder. Really? Think a little bit harder. How did you become an expert in your job? You thought about it. You studied. You're reading up to keep current. How's that different with this amazing gospel? or is that just for the Bible school guys? It's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for, are you a saint? Are you a believer? Yeah, but Jan, just you talking about this makes me nervous. I'm not bold. Jesus got that covered. Jesus has that covered. Peter and the 11 other apostles were not very bold before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? When the early believers, when Peter and John, when they went and they spoke about Jesus, they had persecution. The people spoke to them, they spoke to the people, and the people persecuted them, and then they told them, I don't want you to speak about Jesus anymore. You're causing turmoil here in our city. Don't do that. And they said, well, we don't know about it, but we will speak. You know, we're not going to keep silent. And then they went back to the other believers, and they told, and what did these believers say? God grant us boldness to do what? So that we will speak your word. And we will speak your word. Once again, not grant Peter and John the boldness. You know, they're the ministry guys. Grant them boldness, God. I hope they don't get beaten up again. Grant them boldness. No, it says, God, give us boldness that as we go out to speak the word, and as we go out, that you will stretch out your hand doing mighty signs, miracles, and wonders in the name of your holy son, Jesus. And what happened? It says, and the place in which they were shaken. Were shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had a wonderful time, and they came back the next night for another Holy Spirit meeting. And then the following night, they had goosebumps upon their goosebumps. And then they came for another meeting where they were filled again with the Spirit. And they lied on the floor and soaked for 48 hours. No. It said they were filled with the Spirit and they went out. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. And the Word spread mightily because of their speaking. So who of you are timid? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You have Christ. Right? If you are saved, you have Christ. Do you have a testimony? Can you tell people what God has done in your life? You're a preacher. You're a preacher. You might not know it. It might scare you. But just ask God. God, come and fill me with your Spirit. Come. God, make me bold. God, I'm timid. I don't know what to say. It says that even in the hour when they drag you before the courts, don't worry what you will say, because in that moment, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Trust upon the work of the Spirit. It's not how strong my personality is, not how strong my willpower is, it's how much I am filled with the Spirit. And continually filled with the Spirit. Continually filled with the Spirit makes us continually bold. And what does the Spirit of truth do? The Spirit of truth, He leads us, the Spirit of God leads us into truth that will set us free. It will set us free from our fears. Who of you are fearful of preaching, of proclaiming Jesus? What does the Bible say drives out fear? Love. Perfect love. Not try again. Try harder. Deny yourself. Deny the fear. It doesn't say that. Allow God to so fill you with His love that you are like Peter and John. He says, we don't know. You can't stop me. It's here. I can't talk about anything else. I don't have another issue of life. This is what's in my heart. This is what lives in my heart. I don't have another issue of life. I've got nothing else. The things of this world doesn't interest me anymore. The fact that the Springboks won by 1 point is... so what? Well, daar trap ek nou op 'n toon of twee. It's maybe not so what. We are sent once. We have a message. You have a message. What are you doing? In fact, you are the message. You don't only have one. You are the message. What God has done so far in your life is the message. Paul calls the believers. He says, you are my letters. We are God's love letters. We are God's workmanship. Yeah, but Jan, you don't know. You know, sometimes maybe you suck at life. Maybe you're not a very good husband. But at least if you can say, I'm going to submit that to Jesus and I'm going to ask Jesus to make me more like himself so that I can love my wife like Christ loved the church. People can relate to that. It's your story. Tell your story. Wait, don't wait until your story is perfect. You're going to wait just as you are perfect. Boom, you're going to be gone. Taken up. Take people with you on your journey. Tell them sometimes how you struggle. Show weakness sometimes so that you can say, you know, I'm weak now, but I choose because Jesus said, even in my weakness, and especially in my weakness, I boast about my weakness because when I am weak, He is strong. Take people on your, if you take people on your journey, they'll learn with you. If you wait until you're perfect, all that they'll do, they put you on a pedestal and make you a hero. And think, I can never do that. Take people with you on your journey. And proclaim what you have. I want to tell you that people will, through something insignificant, people will hear Jesus. Even when Peter swore and cursed the little slave girl, she said, you sound just like one of them. Sometimes in our weakest moment, people hear something about Jesus and they believe, not because you know the four spiritual laws or you know how to lead someone to Jesus, but simply because you have a story to tell. You have a proclamation to make. And if you don't know what the proclamation of your life is, I want to encourage you, come to a small group. We're not there to check attendance. We are there to equip saints for work of ministry. Whenever there's training times, whenever there's meetings, come, because it expands your understanding of the proclamation of the gospel. We don't go to power and love conferences because we need a fix. We know that part of the kingdom is not. Part of our proclamation is signs, wonders, and miracles following and the gospel being preached to the poor. We know it's all part and parcel of one thing. And it's part of our proclamation. And you know what the thing is? That our testimony is a huge part of our proclamation. And you know when God does something from Niels, we are family. We are spiritual family because then His testimony belongs to me. So I unashamedly tell other people's testimonies until I have my own. Instead of getting upset with God that I don't have my own testimony, I'd rather take someone else's and testify the heck out of it. Because it belongs to us. It belongs to us. Practice on your fellow believer if you're timid. Practice on them. Tell them your story. If we are unwilling and ashamed to tell it amongst ourselves, how will we tell it to people that don't know? That we don't know. We are sent ones. We need to preach. We need to proclaim. Because if we don't proclaim, they will not hear. And if they do not hear, they will not believe. And if they do not believe, they will not be saved. They will not be saved. We have a commission. We have a responsibility. If we are saved, we have a responsibility. Who of you believe that you are a sent one? Can we just stand? Father, I pray this morning that you would come in and that you would, just through the word and through the worship and through the ministry, that you would have impressed on the hearts of men and women that they are sent ones. That they are sent ones. They are sent just as in the same way, Jesus, that the Father sent you, you sent us to be preachers and proclaimers and heralders of this gospel, of this ridiculously good news. It is truly good news. Father, I pray. I thank you for beautiful feet. I thank you for beautiful feet. I thank you for beautiful feet. Father, I pray that even if we look down and we don't want to make eye contact with people because we're ashamed or we're afraid and we don't want to talk to them and we see people that need prayer but we just want to walk by, that we, as we look down, that we will see our feet and realize this is the feet that takes the gospel to the lost. It's not some other set of feet. It's these feet. It's these two. It's them. And they're beautiful. If they carry good news, they become beautiful. They become beautiful. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for beautiful feet. Won't you just look at your feet? You can look at the person next to you. You don't have to take your shoes off. We want to look at your feet, not smell it. Just look at your feet and just proclaim over your feet, these feet are beautiful because they carry the gospel. These feet are beautiful because they can carry the gospel. They can take me to a lost person. They can take me to a sick person. They can take me to a person that needs Jesus. They can take me to a place and a person that needs a miracle. These are my feet. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to make them beautiful. Father, I pray that as people start talking about your sons and daughters, these Christians, these little Christs, they will say they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And when they come to us, there's something beautiful that's being released. There's love released. There's kindness, there's goodness, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's counsel, there's salvation, there's peace, there's joy. You have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel and preach the gospel. Father, I pray that this church would be day by day and moment by moment be transformed, each one of us, into true sent ones. Help us to grow in our proclamation. Make us bold by the filling of your Spirit, God. That we will go wherever you send us, God. We will not be picky and choosy, and we won't be picky and choosy how you present and demonstrate yourself, God. But we want to be those that bring the gospel to those that need it, God. Make our feet beautiful.